The Cap and J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out.
Bring them out. So it's a football Friday. I get to spend with my friend Jonathan Hood.
Sure will.
Tangle on some opinions. We'll have a good time. We'll get you set for your weekend. And we'll see if the Bears can find a way to get themselves to 1-1. Had a bizarre start to my morning. So we can get into all that. And your White Sox got their head kicked in. But they are comfortably in front. You may clinch in the next week.
I was there to see the babyface assassin kind of regress to where he was last year. Lopez. Those things are going to happen, Cap. You know, but here's what you love is that with the Sox being down 9-0, the fans, as soon as that first run came across the board for the White Sox, people were cheering, standing up and cheering. Mm-hmm. You don't usually get that. Like, oh, you know, we're getting our head kicked in. But people had a good time on the businessman special.
Yep.
The 1-10 start.
Yep.
Love it.
Danny and I were off yesterday for Jewish holidays. I asked that you and all of our fine listeners, I ask for them to be inscribed in the Book of Life.
I'm so glad you put me in the Book of Love. That's so awesome.
Book of Life.
Excuse me? Life. Oh, I see.
Yeah, the way it goes in our faith, the book opens on Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. It closes on Yom Kippur. And in between, on Yom Kippur, you atone for your... It's like Catholics go to confession.
Yes.
I don't know how often they go. I'm not Catholic, but you go to confession to confess your sins. In our faith, you do it once a year.
I see.
So
you only feel guilt once a year. All right, go ahead.
It just builds up.
That's the problem. Like, you let it all build up for a whole year.
Like my services were, I don't know, a little over an hour, hour and 15. Danny goes for 9 hours. He's got more to confess.
So. Well, I can understand why.
Right.
You can understand. I mean, armchair nutritionist. He's got a lot of angst.
He does.
Because of you. So I can understand. So I get it.
No question.
Got to release all that.
So anyway, we've got football to discuss with you. And the Cubs set a record. I am a fan of a record-breaking team. Take that.
Yeah,
you're going to have your division title. We broke a record last night.
Yeah, what record was that, pal?
The Cubs are the first team in baseball history to lose twice in a season by 8 or more runs after leading said game by 7 or more runs. They lost on June 30. We were there.
Side by side.
15-7 in Milwaukee to the Brewers after leading 7-0 after half an inning.
You and I were sitting there side by side seeing this and just the melting of the Chicago Cubs.
And last night? They lost 17-8 after leading 7-0.
Did you text Girardi?
I did not.
Yes. Like, why did you do that to my Cubs, Girardi? We had to do it. We needed a win.
Just be nice. So anyway.
There you have it.
So let's get into football because the Cubs stink. The White Sox had a rare bad day. It happens. Now they go to Texas, Detroit, Cleveland, and they will return home. At some point from that trip, they will have clinched the division title.
Yes, and even though they might have clinched the division title, don't forget we still have White Sox tickets to give away because there's a free ticket Friday at the 45s, White Sox against Detroit in early October. So you can still see the champs. After they've clinched, you can still see the Sox against the Tiger.
How about that?
So stay by your listening device how you can win at the 45s of our program.
Yeah, and as well on Carmen Yerk and Waddle and Sylvie. And then baseball tonight, White Sox in Texas. So
you were saying about the Bears.
Yes. Danny asked a very good question in the IDOT bullpen. And by the way, IDOT reminds you that driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com.
Ah.
Yeah. People are like, what does he make that noise? Because the monitor with that read on it is behind my monitor, and I'm short. And I can't see it, so I have to stand on my tiptoes.
I don't make that noise. Your calves make that noise.
Yes. They're barking.
Why are you stretching me? Just read it.
It's early in the morning. Anyway.
You were saying about the Bears.
Yes. Danny asked a very good question.
Uh-huh.
What has to happen for the Bear to win on Sunday? And poisoning the Bengals' water so they all have diarrhea is not an option.
No, it is not.
So is it the offense has to step up? Is it the defense has to step up? Or what about the coach? I really, truly believe that Matt has a good culture up there. I think they enjoy playing for Matt. I also think their offensive game plan last week was awful. I think the best player should play. That is named Justin Fields. And I think you run a dangerous game that to the point where you could lose your locker room if you're not playing the best guy. Like, these guys go out there every day and bust their ass. They do. They may not play well. They try. They put their injury risk on the line every day in an NFL game. And if you don't feel like you're getting the best chance to win from your head coach, that could change real quick.
Now, the thing that I don't know is when that change happens in the locker room. We've asked former athletes, and I know that you have as well, about when there's a young talent in the room that mm-hmm. seems like he has a different skill set than the starter, and you say, okay, should you play the starter, or should you play the veteran, or should you play the kid? Now, I think for some veterans, they have that uneasy feeling that says, okay, we're going to play the kids. Does that mean that we're going to lose? Is this kind of like the training wheels? Yeah, are you going to – I have very few years left as a football player, and I'm trying to win as many games as possible. I want to win a championship. Is this the right direction to go with a kid who's learning on the job or the veteran that's been there and done that? I think it gets mixed in that locker room. But I think that when you have a disconnect with the players and the coach is when you really have a long losing streak. Say the Bears go 0-3. Now some of the players are like, okay, what are we doing here? I mean, I feel like I'm one of the best players, and this quarterback, Justin Fields, could be one of the best players. Put him on the field. But you've seen this before, Cap. If you go through a long losing streak and you feel like the team is not getting better, this is when you lose the locker room. And the one thing you say about the Nagy teams, there has not been this upheaval and angry and barbs thrown back and forth in the press. You don't get any of that with the Nagy teams. You don't want to start now.
Agreed. But I believe that if it gets to halftime and it's 7-3 Bengals, 14-3 Bengals, the Bears look – and that's a possibility.
That's likely, yeah.
With Joe Burrow? Come on. If it's halftime and they're getting booed for their lack of offensive execution,
mm-hmm.
Justin Fields will start the second half.
We'll see. I don't know if that's the case or not. Because remember, Dalton was promised the job. And so he has to really play poorly for that to happen. Now, here's what we know about the history of Nagy. He does have the quick trigger. And how do we know? Because Trubisky's in there against Atlanta. They're moving the ball down the field. And all of a sudden, oh, here comes Nick Foles out of nowhere. It was a gut feeling clearly from Matt saying that even though we're 2-0, Mitch, you're not the right guy for this. We're not going to lose this game. Foles, get in there. That was surprising to me. Again, that was around the Jewish holidays, if you remember this, right?
Yep.
Because the next day I'm working with Hanley, and I mean, people were just shocked and saying, how was Trubisky pulled in that scenario? And why was Foles? But, hey, Foles won them the game, right? I mm-hmm. get that. But I was surprised by that. So we can't say there won't be a quick trigger because we've seen this from Nagy before.
I truly believe it's closer than we realize that Justin Fields is going to play. Because last night I'm watching a really entertaining Thursday night game. Really entertaining.
Sure.
Are they two elite teams? No. But it was wildly entertaining. If Taylor Heinicke,
who has a great chicken place in Evanston,
That's Henneke.
Excuse me?
It's called Henneke's. This is Heineke.
Oh.
They're not related.
Oh.
Thank you. Scott, man.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Why don't you just tell me what's going on?
This guy last night, this dude undrafted. He goes out and throws for 330-some yards. He leads them down the field. Three lead changes in the final, like, 2.5 minutes.
That's right.
And this dude is balling. I mean, he threw that pass that Seals Jones caught.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great catch.
Yes, it was.
That was a hell of a throw.
Mm-hmm.
He put it where either you're catching it or it's incomplete. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a dime. And I watched that. He wasn't their starter.
Mm-hmm.
Their starter's out. What's his name? Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. And by the way, did you hear how he supposedly got injured? We'll get into that as well.
No, I had not heard that.
Yeah. It involved a water park.
Just go ahead. What else do you have here?
I watched that game and thought, okay, Matt, you're better than this. They're taking shots down the field. They are spreading the field and looking over the middle and hitting 25-yard passes. We don't even try them. And that guy, Matt's a really nice man. We've had him on.
Put the nice guy aside, the coach. All right.
All of that aside.
Yeah.
You don't even try one pass over 20 yards in a game where you know you're going to need to score points to win because that other team is really freaking good.
I mean, they did not take shots down the field against the Rams, and I'm thinking, boy, if the Rams' defense is that good, they're going to the Super Bowl, right? Well, no, they're not. And so you still have to be able to take shots down the field. As I said, watching on Sunday, there are good teams and bad teams that take shots down the field, and the Bears don't. Now, I think that changes on Sunday, which we'll get into, but I, to your point, you're watching two below-average teams take shots offensively. More fun offensively than what we saw on Sunday night.
Daniel Jones, again, I'm not telling you he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's getting better. That guy's mobile. Like Joe Judge, God bless you, man. He was a special teams coach. Mm-hmm. He came in, put together a good staff, and they're getting better. They're not great. Right. I understand that. They let that guy run. They let that guy move. How come we never did that stuff?
Because we have no imagination on offense and have not had any in quite some time. Again, the book looks fun. I'm sure the playbook is voluminous and it looks fun, but you don't have any impact splash plays in there. I think that changes on Sunday somewhat, but still, that was just an embarrassment. And this is why I don't think that Dalton's going to be removed, is because they look at that defense of the Rams and say, okay, just be very conservative. As Yurko said, Larry Elder conservative.
Yep.
And I think, boy, that's extremely conservative.
Yes.
You don't necessarily have to do that.
Right.
Be somewhat conservative, but you don't have to throw passes 10 yards and in. That's nonsense, right? So that's why I think that, again, Dalton will have the lion's share of the time. There'll be a package of plays again for Fields, even though I don't like it. And I think it's going to be somewhat similar to last week as far as the plays for Fields and Dalton getting a lot of time.
I truly believe if they are booed off the field at halftime, if they are not good offensively, Justin Fields is coming in.
I tell you what, if nothing else, Cap, the pressure from television, from the get-ups and the first takes of the world and all these shows, that's the number one story.
Every day.
They are pressuring the Bears to play Fields.
Every day.
That's the number one story more mornings when we come in here.
It is. 312-332-3776. The Bears will win Sunday if you fill it in. The Bears will win Sunday if fill in the blank. Your calls, Bears, what they need to do to beat the Bengals. All coming up next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
All right, the Bears will win Sunday if what? For me, Matt Nagy takes the shackles off the offense and let's go. Whether that's Andy Dalton or Justin Fields, I've made it clear I would be starting Justin Fields. I don't understand how they're not. How Mac Jones can go out and play Taylor Heinicke is out there playing. I know he's in his second year, but that guy was balling last night. We're seeing Trevor Lawrence play. We're seeing Zach Wilson. And our guy who, minimum of a quarter of the league, NFL Network reported, said he was the number one quarterback in the draft. Our guy.
Yes. Well, since 2000, rookie quarterbacks are 47 and 97 in their first career starts. Now, of course, that really tells you a story about how bad some of these teams are. Hey, we're desperate, man. You got to be able to play now. We don't have a veteran ahead of you. You've got to play. I think the Bears situation is better than some of the bad teams.
Agreed.
Because I think the Bears are in the middle. And that's actually worse, right? You'd rather be the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence, or you'd rather be Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, because at least you know where you're going, right? When you're at the top, you can only go higher, right? Or stay at the top.
Yep.
At the bottom, you got a way to move. But when you're in the middle, it sucks. In the middle in sports, Cap, is the worst. 500 is bad.
The worst.
Because you don't know what the direction is. Because if you're in the middle, that means you don't know an injury will take you below 500, a non-contender. Or if you have good fortune, you can move up slightly. But the middle sucks, and I think that's where the Bears are. This is, I think, the bane of our frustration, too, right? If the Bears were bad, it's like, okay, they're going to be 4-13. They have 4-13 personnel. The Bears do not have 4-13 personnel. See, that's the difference between other Bears seasons and others that we've had to deal with, because when you see the talent on defense, it should be a 10-win defense. Should be.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the names, but not the production. And that is the problem.
So what I don't understand is if Matt is coaching for his proverbial life, that's what everyone reports. I've said to you, you're telling me they haven't given him private assurance? Hey, man, just keep the rig on the road. You're not going anywhere.
He will not be fired at the end of the season unless this is a disaster.
Right. If they go like 7-10, 6-11, but Justin Fields is in, he shows potential, I've always believed they're not going to get rid of him.
See, I think that's a weird sentence, because you've tried this a couple of times on me, and I can't get the light bulb to come on in my head from what you're saying. Because, look, if they are a 5-win ball club and Justin Fields looks decent, should he be better than a 5-win ball club? Like what would give you the solace to say, boy, Justin Fields is ready if the team is still losing? Right? You know what I'm saying? Like what's the development look like? Are you just based on numbers? Are you based on wins?
The defense is not good.
Yeah.
The offensive line's not great. Kid's running for his life. But you go, you know what? Can we get a couple more offensive linemen in here? We get that kid some playmakers. We could be all right. I'm just very concerned, more than I've ever been, and I've questioned a lot of what Matt does. Like, I'm with Sylvie on this. What, other than being a really good dude, and apparently their culture's good up there, other than that, what has Matt done that you go, yes, that is successful? What has he done? Develop Mitch?
No.
Nick Foles?
No.
Glennon was with the other guy.
Right.
Parachute dude.
yeah.
What has Matt put together a solid running game? I don't think so. Really creative offense that, oh my goodness, we open it up and they don't know where we're coming from.
Yeah.
Nope.
That was just year one.
Like, what has he done that engenders amazing confidence that this is going to be rolling?
All right. Let's open it up and talk about this. Okay, since you brought up Matt Nagy, let's talk about it from this standpoint. So there's always been this school of thought, especially after the first year of Nagy, where there's a lot of razzle-dazzle, a lot of pomp and circumstance, moving the ball around, a little shell game with the offense, right? We said, look at these plays, man. He comes with Kansas City with all this creative offense that we were not used to seeing. Wow, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it splashed off your TV, the stuff that he was doing. And then it settled in where Trubisky had to make plays, and the offense wasn't very good, and the offense stayed in the 20s as far as efficiency amongst other teams in the NFL. So we've talked about whether or not Matt Nagy should be just the head coach and not the offensive coordinator and head coach, right? Mm-hmm. So if he didn't have the playbook, what would he be doing? Marching up and down the field, motivating. And that's part of coaching too, right?
Correct.
And so I'm wondering, is he a better motivator or a better offensive coordinator? Now, again, offensively speaking, it's dull. It's a plate of urine. It's nothing, right? It just lays there mm-hmm. because it's just not any good. But what if he didn't have that, right? What if he had no play sheet? It was had the headset on, but didn't call any plays. Would the Bears be better with him just going stalking up the sidelines, clapping his hands, and motivating? What would you rather have?
I'd rather have that.
So a coach, him being a leader of men that has nothing to do with offense or defense or special teams as far as outside of just listening on the headset, would that be better for the Bears?
Yes.
Because that would be Bill Lazor, a guy that was not very good in Cincinnati.
Correct. Now, Cincinnati hasn't won in forever.
Right.
So is that on Bill Lazor or is that the product of a bad organization? I don't know.
So you'd rather for Matt not to have the play sheet?
Correct. If I was the GM, I would take the play sheet away.
Here's what we don't know.
Because here's my question to you. Hmm. Tell me one time in his career, Chicago, Kansas City, Philadelphia. Those are the three places he's coached.
Mm-hmm.
One time that he's orchestrated an offense that's been successful.
Well, that's Bieniemy and Andy Reid's offense. He was there.
Well, Matt was the OC before Bieniemy.
Wow. That's Andy Reid's offense, really?
Yeah, it's Andy Reid's.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, he's just barking out the plays.
And he only called plays the last five games.
Right.
And when you've got Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith and Andy Reid, come on, man. I want to see multiple seasons where that guy has orchestrated an amazing offense.
What do you think Bill Lazor could do that Nagy's not? Because we haven't seen it.
Well, we did last year, the last 5-6 games.
Don't do that. Don't do that. You know that was not real. Come on now. Come on now.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Come on now.
Let's be fair here. Go back and look at the numbers when Lazor was the OC. They ran the ball more. The play selection was radically different. I think.
You mean all those draw plays to Mitch? He did against Kansas City.
They ran Montgomery more.
I understand that. You think that's Lazor?
Go look. He was calling the plays. He was calling the plays. Go look at the play sheet from those games and look at the numbers of points, the number of runs. Everything was different.
You sure about that?
Yes. Yes.
Sure Matt hadn't done anything with that game plan?
And Dave Wannstedt had a great line on our post game on Sunday, and I talked to him yesterday, and he reiterated it. He said, you know what a lot of these offensive coordinators do? They get bored.
Nothing, yeah.
He said they get bored.
Yeah.
And he said, he was coaching a game in Miami. He goes, I wasn't the OC. I had nothing to do with the play calls. Chan Gailey did. He said, and we're up 7 points. And Chan's like, halfback pass, you know, 27 right. And Dave buzzed in on the headset. No. I'm overruling. We're not running a halfback pass. You got Ricky Williams. He's rolling. Give him the ball. And he said Chan was furious with him. They ran it 14 consecutive times. 14 consecutive plays. He goes, and guess what number 14 was? He fell into the end zone. Touchdown. We win. He goes, these guru offensive guys get bored.
You sure Bill Lazor was calling plays last year?
I always said to you,
are you sure? You don't know, and I don't know either. That's all Nagy. All of it. The only reason why he buckled is because of the pressure from the media and the fans to run the football. That's what happened. You were there. We talked about it last year. He buckled at the pressure. Tell me I'm wrong. Buckled.
If our head coach is buckling to the pressure of Brad Biggs and Mark Potash and Colleen Kane or Amanda Kashubi or whoever's up there covering asking questions. If our head coach is going to give up the play calling because they're grilling him about it, then we've already lost.
What did we talk about after the Rams game? What did you say? You said, oh, so for those of you who want me to run the football, here you go, take that. There you go. Here's some run plays for you just to appease the fans and the media. Didn't you say that?
I said that.
That was Monday.
Right.
Right? So, yes. Yes, he is listening to outside influences. How many times has he been on this station? We talked about, are you going to run the football? Oh, we understand the importance of running the football. He actually did it Monday, and we saw it at the end of last year. Will that continue? Is that Bill Lazor? Don't think so. Do you see Lazor on your screen, by the way?
I do.
I played yesterday.
We'll get into all that.
I know you didn't hear. I want you to hit that thing, and you tell me if he engenders confidence, Bill Lazor.
All right, we'll get to your calls. That's coming up. Jay and Dalton and a whole bunch of you. 312-332-3776. Your calls and what the Bears need to do to beat the Bengals next. Hey, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Boy, if we could do the off-air stuff on air, we'd lose our license, but it'd be funny as hell.
Yeah, we'd be put in a deep hole. Can't do that. You're saying about the Bears.
Yes. The Bears will win Sunday. If what happens? 312-332-3776. Let's go to Dalton. He's in Brookings, South Dakota. Hey, Dalton, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk about Matt Nagy a little bit. You know what? I'm just so sick of his shtick, the whole BU thing. It will win if he stops being you, if he stops being himself. The whole getting a play call in with 10 seconds left on the play clock, wasting timeouts, reporters asking about injuries. Oh, Goldman's fine, Jenkins fine, Cohen, he's fine. And then 2 days later, yep, surgery went well. I'm sick of it. The shovel pass. Get rid of it. It's done. It's over with.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the and we appreciate your call, Dalton. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Yeah, have a good day, man. Make sure that you're watching your play cock.
That's twice. You get one more.
Sorry. That's what he said. Didn't dump him.
Well, the rule's three, isn't it?
Yeah,
three, always three.
That was the second one. Go ahead. You were saying.
I completely lost my train of thought.
That's what the man said.
I don't have a problem with the shovel pass or the shuttle pass. We used to run it to Dennis Gentry back when we were kids.
That's correct.
And it works. And I've seen Patrick Mahomes run it. It works. But it's got to be working. The scheme has to be designed so that when that play is called, it's there and it makes sense to call it.
That's right.
And when Justin Fields gets on the field for five plays. First play, 8 yard gain to the 2 yard line. Mm-hmm. Andy, stay right there. Stay right there.
Right.
Okay, Justin, watch the robber on the left side. We're going to go with this play. 13 wing jet. It's an RPO play. Be ready. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever the hell the call is.
Yeah.
No, we take him back. Now we change cadence again. When you are an offensive lineman or a tight end and you're in there to block, you're listening because you have the same quarterback every play. You know his voice. You know his cadence. Remember they said, I think it was, wasn't it Eric Kramer had like the best where guys would jump?
Mm-hmm.
Jay was good at that.
Yes.
Getting guys to jump. Well, if you hear Andy, now you're kind of getting a little bit of a rhythm. That's the guy. Now, all of a sudden, it's Justin. Different voice.
Yes.
You better be focused and locked in hearing it. Oh, now it's back to Andy. False start. I don't understand what Matt's doing. None of it makes sense to me.
Yeah, neither do the Bears. They don't understand either. Listen, those plays that we see from the Bears, we see in the National Football League. Only problem is those plays work for other teams. We don't have the personnel. The Bears don't have the personnel to be able to run some of that. Again, it's not the deep threats. It's some of those trick plays. He's talking about the play... The Cordero Patterson type play that was run for Marquise Goodwin. I mean, world-class speed, but can't get around the corner on fourth and short.
Well, he can if the play is blocked properly and it's the right call at the right time.
See those plays all the time on other NFL games, just not the Bears. He will go down as someone that did have innovation, but did not have the players to get that done. So, but and because you don't, you should tailor your offense for what you have. And Matt doesn't do that.
Matt has speed on this team.
Yes.
They never, ever tried to use it on Sunday. That's not correct. Once.
That will change on Sunday, Cap.
I hope you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Jay. He's on the west side of the city. Hey, Jay, what's up, Sparkles?
What's going on, Jay? What's up, Hoodie?
What's up, Jay?
Chilling. Hey, I say the Bears are going to win if the defense decides to play. Listen to this, my theory. I don't think the defense is trying to play. But Bojack and that man let dude get up and score. And if you've seen Khalil Mack, he ran at Stafford and let the man throw a touchdown before he put his arms up even. I don't think the defense is playing because they're fed up letting Nagy hang their head on him.
Yeah, I know. These are professional. I appreciate the call, Jay. Have a great weekend.
Nice call from your CB, by the way.
Yeah. These players are professionals. Mm-hmm. They play hard. They try. Do they make mistakes? Absolutely. I don't ever accuse a player of not trying. No.
We have to stop putting your personal feelings or what you would do if in that situation to actual professionals. I mean, it's a brotherhood, man.
Yes.
They play together. The idea that a unit says, yeah, we're just not going to try hard because we don't like the head coach. You might not like the head coach, and you may do that, but professional football players don't do that.
Correct.
Stop saying that. You can tell us that. Don't tell anybody else that, or you'll be laughed out the room.
Yes. These guys would look at you and go, are you out of your mind? They go out there every day trying to win. They do. I just think we've got a disadvantage at coach. I like the man. He's a very nice guy.
Sure.
Give the play sheet up. Be a head coach. That's what head coaches do. Because you're buried in that play sheet going, all right, it's second and one. On third, I want to get into this. And, hey, coach, you want to challenge that? Well, son of a, I didn't see it.
Right.
That's
right.
Watch the game.
Yeah. But I think maybe one of the reasons why he's not going to be that is because he doesn't know enough about defense to be able to be a head coach of all the units. They asked him on Sunday his thoughts about the Bears' defense. Well, Sean was good on the headset. You know, and right. I'm like, that's your answer? Cap, that's your answer? Is like, he's good on the headset? Like, and he talked about some of the brain farts or the issues with some of the players on defense. And, you know, even on Monday, there wasn't no definitive strong answer that really mattered to me. Or to other Bears fans, he doesn't have an opinion on the defense. And that's why he's chained to the play sheet. Because he knows offense, apparently. But not enough to be able to have a worldly opinion about his team. Offense, defense, and special teams.
Let's go to Tim in Bolingbrook. Hey, Tim, what's going on, Pookie?
Man, all is well, brothers. How y'all doing today?
How you doing?
What's up? Chilling?
Man, I'm chilling out here at Bolingbrook at Firestone trying to get my damn AC fixed, man. It's supposed to be hot this weekend.
Yep. Love it.
Yes.
You gonna call that man Pookie for real?
Why not?
You wanna be called Pookie, Tim?
Oh, I ain't even hear that, bro. You know, my ears to the real shit. The real stuff. So I ain't even hear that. You feel me?
Yes. Yeah, come on, Buttercup. Let's chop it up. Let's go.
All right. What you think, man?
Man, this is where I'm at. I was looking at some of the film from last week and was like, the Bears didn't play a shitty game. They had the momentum in the beginning. It got taken from them. Then you have 100,000 fans taking your souls and a better, more athletic team, and then you just crumbled. But if the Bears could come out with that same intensity, not turn the ball over, and just at least give Justin Fields half the snaps, he got 5 snaps last game. If he would have got 10 snaps, he would have scored that next touchdown. It wouldn't have been an interception in the end zone. And the Bears could have kept the momentum and won the game.
Well, I appreciate the call. Please keep it clean.
People are fired up this morning, man.
They are.
White Sox! Go!
Man. This is going too fast now.
Out of nowhere. Like a brick in the face, man.
Let's go fast. Danny, help us, Danny!
At least the Sox are good.
Listen, this is what happens when Cap randomly calls a dude Pookie. Like, where did that even come from, doctor. Cap? Did someone call you Pookie?
He knew the call was black. Free Ticket Friday on the home of the White Sox. ESPN 1000. This week we have tickets for the games versus Detroit in early October. Listen every hour during Captain J Hood, Carmen Yurko, and Waddle and Sylvie. We'll give away tickets at 45, at 8:45, 9:45. Free Ticket Friday is presented by our friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse at ESPN 1000. Caller 10, regular line, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. As I always tell you, Cap, when it comes to the weed sales, what about Pookie and Nook Nook and them? And you decided that that was Pookie, who's still locked up in jail.
All right, the Bears will win Sunday if 312-332-3776. Plus,
Pookie,
if you're going to the game, we would love your perspective on this. If Andy Dalton comes back into the game after one play for Justin Fields, is Andy going to get booed? Is Andy Dalton getting booed?
Pookie.
312-332-3776. With Hoodie, I'm Pookie. Be right back.
What's up, man?
Running your own business requires a lot of running around. From bookkeeping to client meetings, you run it all. By the time you need to hire, you've run out of energy. Luckily, with Indeed Instant Match, you immediately receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description the moment you sponsor a job. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all other job sites combined. Hiring can finally run smoothly with Indeed. To learn more, visit Indeed.com/credit.
Here's David Kaplan.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, buddy. This hour brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Mortgage rates have dropped again, creating opportunities for refinancing everywhere. How much can you save? Let them find out for you. TheHomeLoanExpert.com.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Hey, Cap, we got a winner for our White Sox ticket.
Romualdo Riviera. Romualdo Riviera. R-O-M-U-A-L-D-O.
That's his name.
Romualdo Riviera of the Northwest Side. That is an awesome name, man. Hey,
yeah.
I'm John Smith. I'm Romualdo Riviera. That is a cool-ass name.
Good job, Rami.
I wonder what his friends. It's a man, right?
It is a man.
It could be a woman. I don't know. I'm trying to be correct here.
No, you didn't see the names. So I just want you to be able to see it. First blush, we got a winner. Oh, God. It's an eye chart. Can I get an R?
Three R's.
Holy bleep. I got to read it now. Oh, no.
I left. I haven't practiced that one.
I knew you didn't see the name.
Been on air for 30-some years. Never had a Romualdo Riviera.
In your brain, you're like, oh, Hoodie's throwing it to me to read the winner. Okay. Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's a lot. It's a lot. That's a big name.
Like. Couldn't get like a Bob Smith. Nope. Romualdo Riviera.
You do a great job, though, of reading names. No matter how random or difficult, you always pronounce them perfectly.
Thank you. I try.
Like that one.
I try. Like every day after the show, Danny and I go into this other studio B and we record the commercials. I am on a streak right now of 40. I keep
Don't
track.
Say it. Don't do it. It's like a no-hitter. Don't.
45 in a row without stumbling. Right? Every day.
I got to say, reading a script like that is one of your biggest strengths. Like, you are definitely one take, Jake. We go in there to record those reads. It's one. I hand them to you. Doesn't matter if there's three or 15. We're done in one take at each of them. And now Bam. You jinxed us, and today we're going to be in that studio for 45 minutes.
Well, that's, I mean, I don't gotta know.
I got to get to the dentist, man. We got to crank them out.
That's not impressive. The whole show scripted. Of course he's reading all day.
Excuse me?
Huh?
Scripted?
Oh, did I say that out loud? Beg your pardon.
This thing obviously ain't. 312-332-3776. Did you see the picture of Urban Meyer's coffee table?
I did not.
Okay, so...
Is it trending?
Yes.
Let me check out. Okay.
So go the big lead. Just go to the big lead. They've got it. Great picture. Urban Meyer, I mean, the guy's making, I don't know, $12 million a year in Jacksonville. He's made $1 billion at all his other jobs. He's got a nice pool and backyard set up. His coffee table is awful. I mean, first of all, the couches don't match in the family room. The lamp is the ugliest lamp I have ever seen. And then he's got this round glass coffee table with, I'm not exaggerating, folks. First of all, Danny, when you put a picture in a Carnival Cruise Line frame and you hide it behind everything else, not a good look. How many pictures are there? 30? It's got 30 frame photos all sitting on the coffee table. You can't even see half of them because there's so many.
I have a feeling that that room, first of all, I disagree with you because it's not like it's photos of his players or photos of him in action or photos of him with the famous people he met. It's photos of his family. But I have a feeling that that room, and you know, rich people have these rooms, and even people that aren't rich have these rooms that nobody goes in, nobody sits in. It's just like that room that's there and decorated.
Yeah, it's called, called the living room. You're not supposed to sit in there.
I have a feeling that this room in question in the coffee table is a room that nobody goes in, nobody uses, nobody sits in.
Have you seen this, Tyler?
Yeah, that's the guy with too many tabs open on his browser.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
Thank you, Tyler. Like, if you want to have a cool fit, like the photo over the fireplace of Urban's family, it looks like it was a photo, and then you can, there's a way of taking said photo and making it look like art.
That's
like, like it looks like a painting, but it's actually a photo. It's a great shot of the family. Where are Danny? On a beach?
Yeah. Gorgeous. Sun setting behind them. They're on a beach. They're all wearing white and baby blue, it looks like.
Yes.
Oh, I see this now. Like, all these pictures. Like, that, I mean, you have enough money to be able to have a bigger table than that. A little small, round coffee table.
Well, first of all, the couch is awful.
The room is decorated horribly. For a guy that rich, like, that literally is like a lamp that was bought at Walmart. And no disrespect if you have a lamp bought at Walmart, but you're not worth what Urban Meyer's worth.
Oh, wow. A man of the people taking a crap on you, Walmart. That's good
stuff.
I'm
saying this is Urban Meyer, hoodie.
But you know what, though? We're getting on Urban Meyer. He didn't decorate that. That's his significant other.
No.
Those are straight out of the Ohio State football offices. Like, let's be honest. Look at the color scheme and everything. Those are straight out of the Ohio State football offices.
Hold on. Jeannie Blaylock is an anchor who got invited to do a feature on Urban's house.
Yep, Mookie's wife.
No. So cool to be invited into the home of Shelley and Urban Meyer. Thought you'd like to see inside the home of the Jags head coach. I loved all the pictures. Shelley Meyer says Urban put every single one out. Yes, Urban. It's called pick some that you like. It'd be like
no.
Me.
Here's the thing, and I know this because we have a wall in our house that's got all our family pictures.
It looks like every day is Valentine's Day in their living room.
Yes,
with the color scheme.
Yeah.
But, like, my wife always wants to add pictures to the family picture wall. The problem is you never want to remove any. Like, you want to put a new one up, but I'm not taking one down of the twins when they were 3 months old. Or I'm not taking one down of my mom and dad from 5 years ago. So, like, you have the pictures. You don't want to remove any. You just want to add more.
Danny, you're missing the point, though. On a wall, nothing is obscured. Diana could say, I'm putting one right there. You could still look back and see Harry Zetterman and your mom, Linda, from 5 years ago. This, you can't see half the pictures because they're all blocking each other.
But he knows they're there.
That's just weird.
I'm just telling you, he needs an interior decorator. That room's awful.
So you're saying he did all of this?
It's what she says.
I have a hard time believing that. Those are his favorite color. Like Tyler said, some of those are Ohio State colors. I get that. But my God.
It's awful.
It just looks very busy, you know? Very busy.
Urban, you can afford it. Get an interior decorator. We will come right back with Shot, No Shot, 2 minutes.